Hello, my name is Marie Meckel, and I'm here with Navid Ahmed, who's a PA, Program Director, for the Clinical Associate Program in Saudi Arabia. Hello, Navid. Thanks for talking to me today.
Hello, Carrie.
So tell me a little bit about the development of the PA program in Saudi Arabia.
Well, Ministry of Defense, they always have a mission and vision and a goal to prepare mid-level healthcare provider who will not necessarily provide healthcare services in the hospital, but they should be able to provide health services out in the field to the soldiers and also to the family members. So this we are talking about not necessarily in the urban area, member working with physicians in providing the healthcare services to this population.
When did the program start?
Inception of the program, it was in September of 2010 in collaboration with George Washington University Medical Faculty Associate. Ministry of Defense and George Washington University, they collaborated this program with the intention that they will be adopting this PA US model, which will be entirely US-based curriculum, which they were planning to have in their college, which is the Prince Sultan Military College of Health Sciences.
Okay, so the program developed out of a need through the military.
Yeah.
How is it going into primary care? What's the future of the program? What plans does your program have or the government have in general?
The main goal of the government was to prepare or train this male officers who will go through their military training, and then they will be doing this 28 months of military training with special emphasis on the emergency medicine, trauma, and now finally it hasn't been agreed, like, you know, primary care is also acceptable. So they are looking into this three category, but their main focus is trauma and emergency medicine.
So military type healthcare. So what's the, tell me if there's any development in terms of women's health. Are they training women? Tell me about that, if there's anything going on in that area.
Recently, in the past few months, we have heard there is a discussion going on, like, you know, we should have this profession in the female population. Looking at the overall healthcare burden and also the way the population is facing those challenges of chronic diseases, including elderly population care, especially in the remote rural areas, women's health, preventive medicine. So keeping this in mind and providing services in the remote and disadvantaged area, there is, as we speak, there is a plan, some of the physician consultant, and I happen to get an email from one of the physician, Saudi physician, who is interested in starting this PA program, mid-level practitioner for female students.
Oh, so that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about the healthcare situation in Saudi Arabia. Is there a shortage of doctors? If so, why?
Yes, this is the challenge which the Ministry of Health, which is the main organization providing 60% of healthcare services to the general population. That includes the national Saudi citizen and also the expatriates. The the other 20, close to 20-21% falls into a subcategory which is under the umbrella of Ministry of Health. It's like they call it National Guard and Crescent Society of Clinicians. That consists of 20%. And the rest remaining is what they are trying to do is the private cooperation where the health insurance and other things are coming into play. Some of the private companies are having this plan. So, but majority of healthcare services are being provided by Ministry of Health. There is, as per my last, as I recall, the latest article I was reading, which is a study done by Al-Maliki in 2008. As per him, there are close to 16 physicians per 10,000 individuals, and 32 nurses per 10,000 individuals. And this is I'm talking about in 2008. It might have changed in the latest, but I haven't come across any latest data. The population is growing as the services of prevention and taking care of chronic, you know, the health screening program and awareness. So the life expectancy is increasing. And on the other hand, there is also a rise in an increase in the population. I don't know the exact figure and the ratio, but compared to, you know, the last few decades, the population, they predict by 2030, it is going to tremendously increase by, if I recall, I'm looking at the number, 3.5 to 5% will be increased than the current population. There is no agency which is giving an accurate number of the population. From different sources, what I have come across, and this again, this is a rough estimate, close to 21 million there are local Saudi nationals who have been registered, and more than 5 million are expatriates. So for this entire 26 million people, and again, this is a rough number, there is no such thing or an agency which is documenting, and there is no centralized system there to document the exact number. That Ministry of Health is taking care, providing universal health care, which is free of cost. That includes preventive, restorative, and in general, taking care of, you know, the all the healthcare services.
You might have explained it, and I might not have understood it well. Tell me why there was a need in the military to create a physician assistant professional. Is there a lack of healthcare professionals in the military, or was that just the easiest way to produce a PA? How did that develop?
From my understanding, with the recent uprising going on in the Middle East, they are assuming there will be definitely a need, and they need someone, an immediate first responder, as we have paramedics, EMT folks, who will be out there, not necessarily on the field, but somewhere where there are field hospitals, where they will be based, and they will be in communication with physicians, surgeons, so that the main goal, the main aim is at least they should be able to stabilize the patient, able to do the ABC procedure, and in order to save more lives, rather than waiting and, you know, the ambulance or, you know, the healthcare provider reaching by the... So they're trying to save time and also trying to save some of the chronic challenges they may have to face with dealing with, you know, the cost and taking care of the disabled soldiers or, you know, their family members. Not necessarily we are looking at physical disability, but psychological one. So this way, the main goal of them is to prepare as a holistic mid-level practitioner who will be called physician assistant, who will take care of the patient and also of the soldier and also the family member.
Okay, so the program really came out of the concern that there would be more military activity, and it's a way to address what to do out in the field.
Exactly. That's the main vision and goal of the Ministry of Defense.
Okay. Tell me about, so you're head of the director of the program. What's the curriculum like? What do you do?
The curriculum is pretty much when Ministry of Defense, when they approach George Washington Medical Faculty Associate, they ask for a curriculum which is like a U.S. model, same like a physician assistant in U.S. So MFA, Medical Faculty Associate of George Washington University, they form a joint advisory committee which consists, I don't know exactly the name, but there were close to 6 universities faculty members. They got together, they put a program which will meet the need of Ministry of Defense. So the curriculum is a US-based model. It is a 28-month training. This is a master level program. Before applying to this program, there is a process of screening. They should have a bachelor's degree in health sciences. We prefer to have healthcare experience, but it is not mandatory. Looking at the individual's TOEFL or IETLS score, there are certain basic requirements to get into the program. And once the students are selected, screened, and of course the selection process is not just me or PA faculty member, we do have military folks who are physicians. We have from the college other faculty members who are who are at doctorate levels, head of the Department of Science and Nursing Department. They are involved in this process, so it's a team effort. There is a selection criteria. We have designed the basic requirement that they should meet this standard. Currently, the standard is not that strict because of the low turnout of applicants. The profession is new. Students or individuals who apply for this profession, they don't know what a physician assistant is. On the other hand, there are some cultural issues with the name, physician assistant. So initially when the program started, they said, well, we'll call it assistant physician. Then later on they said, no, we'll keep it like a physician assistant as in the U.S. It is called. So there is a debate going on, but as of now, the title of the profession is physician assistant. Coming back to, as I said, the applicant pool is, we are going with the flow with whatever caliber student with basic requirement, they are coming in on board. So one of the challenges we have is, well, they have been told that, this, you go into this profession, you will get a master's degree. This is a U.S. curriculum. Once you finish this training of 28 months, you will be called as a first lieutenant officer. So the training of this PA profession is 28 months. That includes the first 16 months of didactic training. So when the students come into the program, the very first semester is the transitional semester, which is 4 months. And this does not include in the core PA curriculum. These are some basic courses which will prepare a student to handle the extent of the and the rigorous of this PA curriculum. So in this four months, the very first semester, which is transitional, they go through some basic medical terminology, English language, some basic courses like microbiology and PA profession, what is a PA profession about. So once they successfully pass through this 16 credit hour of transitional semester, then they are allowed to proceed to the very first semester of the PA didactic core curriculum. So this is for 12 months, and the 4 months of transitional which are not included in their CGPA. So once they go through this first year of didactic training, successfully they are supposed to maintain a GPA of 3.75 on a 5 scale of 5. Once they are done, then they start their clinical rotation, which is 12 months. This is a master's program. They are also supposed to do a research graduate project, which is done during their clinical year training.
Tell me, before we had talked a little bit about problem-based learning. Tell me a little bit about how you use problem-based learning, the advantages you see of it, and how you work it into your curriculum.
What we have experienced in the very first year, this is a society which are not right from the way they are educated there is not reading to them is a new concept. You know, they if you tell them to go. PowerPoint is not enough, you have to go out and read, they won't do it. So what we thought about is, slowly introducing the problem-based learning in the didactic year, which was challenging for us to create another block for this problem-based learning. So we thought maybe in some rotations they have hours available. So what we did, we kind of informed and for the preceptor, 2 days a week, they will be coming back to campus, and we will spend 2 to 3 hours with problem-based learning. And then, of course, we were pulling them out from the the clinical skill-based learning to problem-based learning, which is in a classroom setting. But we found out, we were trying to review what they have learned in the didactic year. That was the main purpose, to design a case, but which will test them with basic knowledge what they have learned in during the didactic year. And this is what I have experienced. This is a society where they're not used to just feeding information. They if you involve them, if there is an interaction. Interactive method of teaching, they will get interested. So we adopted this problem-based learning module, and we found out students were able to retain information for quite some good amount of time. When it came a time for them to take the final exit exam, they were able to recall information from the problem-based learning. And which students have shared, I was not able to document, but now since we are bringing this issue and in this conference, there were a lot of discussion about this problem-based learning. So I will be from now onwards documenting, how many students approach and how it work, and later on. So there will be trying to maintain some data, and hopefully that will help us. And never know, this might be a kind of a good new invention of this learning process.
What the PAs in Saudi Arabia now, do they have any licensing issues? Can they practice independently? Do they have to have supervision, either direct or whatever, from a physician? Talk a little bit about their licensing and their scope of practice, and how the Department of Health or the Ministry of Health sees them, and if they what if any conflicts they have with the Ministry of Health.
Right. Currently, I think there was some there is some political and administrative issues involved. The process was initially they were supposed to approach the Ministry of Higher Education and Ministry of Health Specialists. These are two governing bodies. Every individual who needs to practice medicine has to have a number, registered number, whether it is CNA or a dental hygiene or a nurse or physician. or a PA. They have to have a registered number where somebody can look at and they say, well, yes. So this there was no coordination between the Ministry of Defense and the Ministry of Higher Education and Ministry of Health Specialist. But Ministry of Defense said, we need this. We don't have time. You know, this needs to be in reality. We need to enforce this, and this recognition will come on later on. The reason they said that is, we are Ministry of Defense. We have our military hospital. So these folks who are being trained, we can assign them a job title as a physician assistant and first lieutenant, medical officer, where they will be working in the hospital or in satellite clinic where they have a setting to take care of the patient. So with that aim and goal, they said, well, let's go ahead and start. But currently there are issues. We are, as I said earlier, the reason we are not getting a good applicant pool is there is no recognition. There is not enough advertisement about this profession. And we are also trying to, convince them that this message that, you know, there needs to be an awareness. If you want, I can go out and talk about this profession in the colleges and universities and, you know, bring some good applicants. However, that's not happening, and I don't know why. I'm not getting clear answers, like, you know, let's go ahead and... But I think they are trying their best at the ministry level to get this profession recognized. On the side, they say now we have the first batch and the second batch is close to graduation, and who's going through this training. Let's have them, design a job description, which I, with the help of other folks here in the States, we came up with a job description of a PA, what a PA is, what are their capacity and to what extent they can work with the comfort level of the supervising physician. So we designed the job description. That job description has been sent out in, my understanding is, to all the hospital where the first graduating class are currently working. And they have been enforced. The director of that hospital has been told, this is the job description, and now you have this PA. He will be working. So currently, the first graduate from 15, 8 are working in the hospital as a physician assistant. They are waiting for the approval by the Ministry of Health Specialist and Ministry of Higher Education to get recognition. So for this year, they say, well, we will kind of slow down the pace, you know, work with whoever you have, train them. So of those 15, the very first group, 5 are being trained as a as an instructor, demonstrator, they call, to become PA faculty members. So they said, train this while we, you know, we get this recognition. So up till now, I have no idea at what stage they are in a process of getting the recognition. But these are some challenges. Challenges about getting the profession recognized, getting the legal agreement that these are physician assistants, as the physicians they work out in the community. So these folks are restricted to work only in a military hospital. And that's what the main goal and the mission of the Ministry of Defense is, to have this PA ready to work out in the military hospital or in the clinic. And if there is a comfort level, they may assign them in satellite clinic where they will have an autonomy to work, and with some kind of electronic media supervision.
So right now, are they mostly working in emergency rooms, or are they working doing general medicine in the hospital?
They are doing both. Oh. My understanding is some of them are rotating. They say, well, you start in emergency medicine, internal medicine. So they are working in both specialty.
What are the challenges of the profession in Saudi Arabia?
Challenge of the profession is, of course, the language. You know, of course, the few are very fluent in English, as they have been outside of the kingdom. They have gone to UK and got their English language and undergrad courses done. But at time we have to slow down the pace. The PA profession is very, as we know, it is very challenging. You know, we are kind of compressing the 4 years of medical education into 2 years. So we have to slow down the pace. We really have to look at the curriculum and emphasize what exactly we need. So one of the challenges is we have to compromise some topics in the curriculum. For example, pediatrics or female health or OBGYN, they said why right now they don't need this. Don't spend too much time. Just give them overview in 2 weeks of women's health, 2 weeks of pediatrics, and that's it. Concentrate more on internal medicine, infectious disease, trauma, emergency, orthopedic.
And why is it taught in English again? The program's taught in English, correct?
The
program
is taught in English. In general, in the kingdom, most of those health profession, my understanding is they are taught in English. And even in schools, they highly regard international school education as a value for their kids. So there is heavy emphasis on kids going to English school. They should go learn English. And, of course, all the colleges, that's what my understanding is, curriculum is in English. Medical school is in English. All the healthcare profession, including therapists, nurses, dental hygiene, occupational therapies, they are in English. And so is physician assistant.
Is there more than one language spoken in Saudi Arabia? Is that one of the reasons you do it in English? That not everybody speaks Arabic? Talk a little bit about why that decision was chosen.
Arabic is their mother tongue. Mm-hmm. And English is the second language. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, the teaching and education, greater emphasis is that it should be in English. And, of course, medical language cannot be converted. It will be really hard to translate the medical language into Arabic.
Okay.
So, that's what my opinion and, you know, my thinking is. However, there is an emphasis on all education, whether it's a technical level or higher level as a physician, it should be in English.
If you have one message for the world, what do you want the world to know about Saudi Arabian physician assistance?
Well, there is definitely a need. Looking at the disparity, looking at the population, looking at the rise of all these challenging diseases, childhood obesity is on the rise, chronic disease like hypertension, diabetes, kidney problem, endocrine problem, care for the elderly, care for preventive care, there is definitely a need out there, especially in the rural areas. Nowadays, as we know, prevention is the name of the game, and my thinking and my opinion is definitely globally there is a need, and of course also in the kingdom, of course they have resources, financially they are very secure. However, the resources are not being used in the right direction, and the way to cope up this wide gap in the healthcare is. The lack of healthcare providers, especially in the rural areas. And if you are looking at the first responder, the care for those folks in the boundaries of the kingdom, these are the folks who are going to do an excellent job. But it's a long way ahead. There's a lot of challenges to come up with this good quality healthcare provider who will really improve the quality of life in the entire Saudi. We need this profession to succeed.
Thank you so much for your time, Naveed. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.